speak to us. May your Holy Spirit fill us. May your Holy Spirit encourage us to never, ever be ashamed. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. We've all had our embarrassing moments. You know, those moments where we failed at something. And I don't know about you, but I try to avoid that under any circumstances. It's not a feeling I like to have. It's not something I like to experience. Have you ever been embarrassed of saying, I am a Seventh-day Adventist? Have you ever been embarrassed or ashamed of saying, I am a Christian? Just recently, I got a phone call from a friend of mine. And he said, Samuel, I live in this country. And I have four churches. They're small churches. Each one is about 60, 70 kilometers away from each other. And my kids, when they get home, they say, Papa, why are we the only vegetarians in our town? Papa, why are we the only ones in our town who keep the Sabbath? And you know what he told me? He said, Samuel, I want my kids to go to America. I'll pay whatever so that they can know their other kids their age, other people their age who are also vegetarian, who are also Christians, who are also Seventh-day Adventist, and they don't have to feel like they're the only one. Last week, we spoke a little bit of Peter's experience. And they felt like they were the only ones at one point. They were in Jerusalem. They had gathered together. The Holy Spirit had come upon them with power. And Peter went out before a mocking crowd. And he preached the gospel. And 3,000 people were converted in one day. He was not ashamed. He was not embarrassed. And in our scripture reading this morning, we heard what Paul, the apostle, another man of God filled with the Holy Spirit, said. Words that are pronounced day after day, week after week, throughout history that have impacted the lives of many people. And if you have your Bibles with you, please open them to the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Words that encourage us. Words that strengthen us. Words that help us in these times that we live in. And it says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Paul is clear about saying what he's not ashamed of. He says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Can we say that together? For I am not ashamed of the gospel. What gospel? What good news? Romans chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 tell us, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Verse 3, concerning his Son. What is the gospel? The Son. The gospel is Jesus. And Paul is saying, I am not ashamed of calling myself a Christian. I am not ashamed of telling people about Jesus. I am not ashamed of claiming Jesus as my Savior. I am not ashamed of living the way He wants me to live. I'm not. And he gives the reason why. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. It's the dunamis. We have that word in English. Dynamic power of God. The moving power of God. The power that sets planets in their orbit. The power that makes the sun and the stars to shine. The power that makes the blind to see. The power that makes the dead to come alive. But Paul here is more specific. And he said it's the power of God to save. Amen? It's God's power to save. Jesus is God's power to save. Who? He who believes. The Jew first, and also the Greek. This caught my attention because I said, the Jew first? How come they get first place? Why? Now we have to remember that Paul was a Jew. He spoke Hebrew. Most likely he went to the synagogue every week. Most likely he went to rabbinical school. Most likely he got a PhD in biblical studies or canonical law. Yes, that was Paul, a Jew of Jews, of the tribe of Benjamin. And he said to his people, look, as if to try to convince even one, the gospel was given to us first. Accept it. It came to us first. The good news was preached by the prophets. Accept it. Take it. Own it. Look what it has done for me. I was a persecutor, and now I am a preacher of the gospel. It's changed me. It's power that transforms. But it's not just for the Jews. Amen? It's for the Greeks as well. And we have to remember that Paul did not, or was not born in Jerusalem or Israel or Judah. He was born in Asia Minor. He was born in what today is called Turkey. That's where he was born. Most likely his neighbors were non-Jews. He also learned Greek, the lingua franca of the times, the language which all the world knew and spoke and communicated in, kind of like English today. And Paul said, the gospel is for you too. Accept it. Live it. Claim it as your own. It's the power of God to transform you too. Power of God. Now this power is available to anybody. In fact, Romans chapter 1 and I believe verse 15 and on, I am under obligation to both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. It's available to anybody. But you need to believe. You need to believe. Have faith is what he is saying in verse 16. And he expounds a little more in verse 17. For it says, for in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. In Jesus, the righteousness of God is revealed. From faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous, Gabby, shall live by faith. That's how we live, Gabby. The righteous shall live by faith. Righteousness of God. Jesus, the righteousness of God, is, and it says, Apocalipsis. For those who speak Spanish will go, I understand that. That's the book of Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus. It's the revelation of God's righteousness. It's God's plan of salvation that washes us from all sin. And this comes from faith. It comes from where? From faith. It comes from faith, and it comes back to God in faith. Now, faith is very important. Without it, we cannot what? We cannot please God. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Faith comes from listening to what Jesus has to say to us. And it is His faithfulness. It is His faithfulness that makes this possible. This week we had board meeting, and I shared this with the church board, a passage that struck me personally. Sometimes we feel like we have to do something. Sometimes it feels like I'm not doing enough. Sometimes it might feel like what I try to do never works. And this is what Steps to Christ has to say regarding this. We would not make self the center and indulge anxiety and fear as to whether we shall be saved. All this turns the soul away from the source of our strength. Commit the keeping of your soul to God and trust in Him. Talk and think of Jesus. Let self be lost in Him. Put away all doubt. Dismiss your fears. Say with the Apostle Paul, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Rest in God. He is able to keep that which you have committed to Him. If you will leave yourself in His hands, He will bring you off more than conquer through Him that has loved you. Amen? If we will entrust ourselves, if we will just reciprocally give back that faith that He has given to us through His Spirit, for it is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not nothing you or I can do. It's a gift. God's faithfulness is a gift to us, manifested through Jesus Christ. And the only thing we can do is respond to that invitation. Say, Jesus, I want you to be my righteousness. And if Jesus is my righteousness, does Samuel have anything to be ashamed of? I can tell you, I've done things I'm ashamed of. I've done things I'm ashamed of. But God's righteousness covers me. God's righteousness covers my nakedness. God's righteousness cleanses me from all sin. God's righteousness is a gift that I must accept. A gift that gives me strength, that gives me courage to continue on. Amen? Ellen G. White, same book, Steps to Christ, says the following: many have an idea that they must do some part of the work alone. They have trusted in Christ for the forgiveness of sin, but now they seek by their own efforts to live aright. But every such effort must fail. Jesus says, without me ye can do nothing. Our growth in grace, our joy, our usefulness, all depend upon our union with Christ. It is by communion with Him, daily, hourly, by abiding in him, that we are to grow in grace. He is not only the author, but the finisher of our faith. It is Christ first and last and always. He is to be with us not only at the beginning and the end of our course, but at every step of the way. David says, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. I shall not be ashamed. Something happens to us human beings when we turn 11, 12, 13. Our bodies start changing. For some of us, our ears get bigger. For some of us, we start looking and noticing we have a nose all of a sudden. And we start noticing which hairs don't come down as well. And it's very easy to center upon self. I think that's what makes the teenage years difficult. They are. It's a time of lots of change. And something that we notice is not just our faults, but we start noticing the faults of others. It's very easy to look around and say, look at that person, and that's Pastor Sam. Did you see him say that? Easy to see the faults in others as well. That can be discouraging, can it? It can. But we are not called to look upon Pastor Sam, or upon the elder, or upon the sister. We're called to fix our eyes on Jesus, the power of God. And if we fix our eyes on him, we have nothing to be ashamed of. We have nothing to fear. In fact, Paul finishes these two verses by saying, remember what the prophet Habakkuk said? The just shall live by faith. In Habakkuk, it reads literally, the just shall live by his faithfulness. Brothers and sisters, God is faithful. Therefore, I have nothing to be ashamed of. God is true. Therefore, you have nothing to be ashamed of. We're growing, aren't we? Max Lucado said a little phrase on the title of a book that caught my attention where it says, God loves you the way you are. He just wants you to be like Jesus. Amen? He loves you the way you are, but he wants you to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. Do you want to be like Jesus? We can if we accept it by faith. Amen. I'd like to invite the congregation to open their hymns. Number 108. And I invite you to stand as we sing Amazing Grace. We'll sing the first and the last stanza. Say.